Hey, I'm Father Dave Dwyer from Busted Halo. And if you've never heard the Busted Halo radio show on SiriusXM Satellite Radio Channel 129, you really should take a listen. For subscription information, go to SiriusXM.com. But in the meantime, here's something we talked about on a recent show.
Well, we all experience times in our lives when we need to discern something, and our guest this evening has a new book to help us hear God's call in those moments. Matt Kresich is an international speaker, author, and retreat leader. His professional ministry has encompassed youth, young adults, ministry and evangelization, and pastor coaching. He's a longtime fan of the Busted Halo Show. He began listening to us in college. He was one of the youngest pilgrims ever on a Busted Halo Catholic Guy pilgrimage. But he's got a new book now from Paul's Press called The Path of Discernment, Hearing God's Call. Welcome to the Busted Halo Show, Matt Kresich, author.
Thank you. Yeah, I was reflecting on it. I'm really coming full circle and checking off the Busted Halo bingo sheet. I called in just as a listener before.
You called in.
You know, what did you hear? Pilgrimage. Yep. Have run into you and Brett many times at different events and whatnot, and the NCYCs and whatnot, and now here as a guest.
And now look at you going with Paul's Press. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, of course. We got some wonderful Paul's here in Chicago, so happy to connect with them and, of course, join this fine publishing group.
It sounds to me like the path of discernment was just listening to the Busted Halo Show and then following those guys around.
I think that's chapter three. Yeah.
It's that deep in? Oh, man. Well, this is awesome. We're very happy to have you now as an author. This is great.
Brett, do you remember young Matt when he joined us on Pilgrimage?
Oh, yeah, because I'm always the one with the young whippersnappers. They always they send me out late with the who's ever still up. And Matt was one of the best ones.
Matt,
can
you reveal to our listeners what happens after hours on a pilgrimage with Brett Sedell?
Careful.
There's no bedtime.
bedtime.
There's no bedtime on a pilgrimage.
Bedtime.
And you think Brett tells funny stories now? Just wait until late hours. You're really scraping the barrel there.
True.
Some fun stuff.
That's true.
Yeah. Brett, you're funnier late at night?
It's not. Well, hey. There's some stories that aren't for the air. I'll put it as simply as that. But they are for post midnight on a pilgrimage.
There you go. Fair to say, Matt?
I know that it didn't completely scandalize Matt because now he's on as a Catholic author. So it couldn't have derailed him too much. And I'm happy to see that proof play out.
He's the one.
Right.
Yeah. So, Matt, how long ago did you start listening?
So, yeah, I would have started listening in 2015.
Whoa.
We just started college in 2015. It was my second semester freshman year. I'll never forget. I had a evening math class. And so school wasn't driving distance for college. So I would drive to my class in the evening and usually catch the beginning portion of the show before going into the 6:30 start time.
Yeah. So I think I know the answer to this, but which was more fun, math class or our show?
I definitely enjoyed math class. You know, those segments a lot better than that. It was Calc 2. So it was not a fun evening class to be in. But
ours is better. Great.
Yeah, yes. That is good. So, all right, Matt, now we have to get serious. We have to treat you professionally, not just like a listener or a pilgrim. You should see how we treat the pilgrims.
He actually knows that.
because you got a new book called The Path of Discernment. Now, a lot of people, when they hear that word in Catholic context, they think, he just wrote a book about thinking about becoming a priest. Is that what this is about primarily?
So honestly, it was that exact quandary that I found myself in. And so in the book, I dive a lot into my story, but I was kind of all over the map. So I was dead set on engineering for a while, then really felt a call to the priesthood, and then eventually working in ministry as a layperson in the church. And there were so many great resources, and there are for those discerning the priesthood, entering the religious life. We need those resources, but there is no one for something like me. And 99% of people who will never consider the priesthood, who will never consider the religious life. And so what does it mean to discern becoming an engineer, becoming a construction worker, becoming a grade school teacher? And it was that desire and that need for information that I said, I need to sit down and write something on that.
Well, I mean, now that you describe it that way, maybe it's helpful to define what we mean when we say discernment, because it's different than just I have to make a pro and con column about this job, right? I mean, it's not merely that.
No, no, absolutely not. And that's where in kind of originally pitching this book, right? When we think of discernment and we think of priesthood or religious life, that's usually a narrow age, right? That is someone maybe in high school looking towards college or someone graduating college. Like, you know, it's a very small subset of time in our life. But as you just alluded to, Father Dave, like discernment is something that is perpetual and constant, and you could be happy in your career, but there's always those nagging questions of how is God maybe pulling me deeper into what I'm doing? Is God asking me to change something up? Or most importantly, how can I invite God more and more into where I'm at now? And when we treat discernment like that, it becomes not just looking for an answer, but the process of discernment, which I argue is lifelong, the process of discernment becomes a means of grace and living out our Christian life.
Well, you also, in the book, you make the point that happiness plays a key role. And I like how you tease that out, because in our modern world, or maybe all the world throughout down through the centuries, there certainly is a non-religious or just kind of a human or even hedonistic desire for people to just say, well, do what makes you happy. But you don't mean it that way, right?
No, no. And, you know, that's one of the phrases I repeat throughout the book. You know, God wants you to be happy, yeah. Right? And as you mentioned, that is very different than I'm just going to do what the world tells me is happiness, right? God, the creator of the universe, knows Matt. He knows what my deep skills are, my deep passions are, what really drives me. And God's going to say, I'm going to use that for my glory, right? And so God's going to take what drives Matt, what wakes me up in the morning, what keeps me going, and pull that out of me and use it in amazing ways. Again, you know, some of the stories I talk about my background growing up. I loved, you know, the early days of YouTube and making videos, and I love production stuff like that. And I figured I'll never use that in parish ministry. Well, we have a worldwide pandemic and I'm in charge of broadcasting for entire diocese, right? So, you know, God knows these skills that are hidden in us, that even if we have our dream job, right, we might not know what our deeper and more substantial longings are. And if we're open to how God will use that, right? Following God's path isn't just the boring, I'll pray in a monastery all day, but saying yes to God and truly discerning what happiness is, it's electrifying. It gets you up in the morning, and ultimately, if it's focused on God, it'll build up the kingdom of God.
Matt Kresich is our guest here on the Busted Halo Show. His latest book is called The Path of Discernment, Hearing God's Call, from Paulist Press. We could go to some sort of a function for Paulist Press authors, because you and I are both now Paulist Press authors.
Is there a jacket you get with it? Like that for
no jacket.
Well, there's a book jacket.
Yeah, that's right.
It's hardcover.
He gets it. Matt gets the nice, convenient, soft cover book.
So proud of you, Matt. I mean, geez. When I met you, we were slinging beers.
Staying
back
up
in
late.
Greece, and now you got this cool book out. Proud of you. God did
for
a good
record,
job with your discernment.
I was 21 on that pilgrimage.
Yeah, for the record.
So I was 21, just by a couple of months. So it's all
well,
on
that's
the
right.
Up
and
up.
Ocean waters. You don't have to worry about getting carded, I don't think. No, 21. We played it safe. It's all right.
Well, yeah, we always, that's our minimum threshold. And he had just breached it.
21. He's like, my birthday's coming up. Can you let me go?
Yeah, you probably entered the lottery before you were.
This is true. This is true. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Wow, that's cool. So you've done a lot of work in ministry. Do you see, like, the context in which, if you're working in a diocese or working with a youth group, do people tend to put discernment in the box that is just like, oh, that's just for big things?
Exactly, right? Exactly. Yeah. And we treat discernment as like, it's something I accomplish and I move on and I maybe dust off that skill down the line, right? When I have another big thing. And when we treat anything like that, like when we invite God into those big moments in our life, right? Well, those big moments are small and in between, right? And so I really, you know, it's much more than the sermon, but it's fine-tuning our ears and our, most importantly, our hearts to how God is constantly inviting guiding us. I remember I talked about a little bit in the book, and then I kind of did this weird career switch, went from engineering to working in ministry. I had the engineering job all lined up, and 3 days before I was supposed to start, I sent my resignation letter in and took this job at a parish. And so I was going on a retreat, kind of like doing some backwards looking discernment of like, oh, was this right or not?
Was this the right thing to do? Let me discern this.
Exactly.
Do you recommend that that's the timeline people should take, or?
So that's the funny thing about it. So like, no, most of our lives are like that, like, especially in the secular world, like even in ministry. I in the course of writing the book, I was going from parish ministry to working at an archdiocese, and I'm like, I don't have time to go on a retreat. Like, it's a job offer. I have to say yes or no. So use the voices and the calling that God's given you, but also a lot of the sermons in retrospect too, and following up on that, because life is so busy. We can't take a 30-day silent retreat if I should maybe consider that job offer that they gave me. And so, when the sermon just becomes a listening to God, that is limitless, right? There is every element of our life, God is breaking in. And on that retreat, one of the talks is called Grace Upon Grace as a way to discern, right? Listening to God is just grace upon grace. And so whatever tools we can use to cultivate discernment and listening, it's not just good for decision-making, it's good for our souls.
The Path of Discernment, Hearing God's Call, is the new book from Paul's Press by author Matt Kresich, who joins us here on the Busted Halo Show. Author. I'm calling you author now. Not just engineering guy or youth minister. Approved author.
Young pilgrimage. He's moved. Young Padawan.
Our young Padawan. But I like your emphasis on, in the book, on being able to look at our lives and kind of tell our story, not just for the sake of I want to brag about myself or in case I have to be giving a testimony in front of a bunch of people. It's helpful for us to see God working in our lives, even if that story, quote unquote, never gets turned into a book, or even if I never have to give a talk about it. It's helpful for our own discernment, right?
Absolutely. And my previous job, that ministry plunge that I took, was in youth ministry. And it was a particular problem I saw as I'm engaging with our kids and saying, what are your dreams? Like, you're in high school, you're getting ready for college. And I call it like the decision paralysis. There's so many options and there's so many people trying to tell you what your story should be. And right, there is the genuineness of parents and family members that just want the best for you. But then there's all the influences of if you do this, right, you'll fit in with everyone. If you do this, everyone will think more highly of you. And so we have a lot of people telling us what our story should be. And even on social media, and I'm guilty of this myself, what you see on social media is not the real Matt. I try to make it authentic, but it's the polished version of Matt. It's the version I want people to see. So when we actually step back and look back at our story, if we want to know what happiness looks like truly in our lives, lasting happiness, and if we want to know where God is calling us, realistically, we'll see that by looking backwards first. And so in the book, I kind of walk through just the importance of telling your story and in the midst of my own story and kind of all these quick transitions from changing life directions in a relatively short order. There's some anger with God of like, God, why couldn't you just make this a straight path? Why was it windy and twisty? And why do you make me take the long way here? Why
can't
we
just jump to Lord.
Here? Exactly. And it wasn't until I sat down and shared all that, the good and the bad and the anger on a retreat with a priest, just kind of opened up about it. And he didn't say anything. He didn't correct me. He didn't like say, oh, that's a great understanding. He just listened. And it was, it was kind of the self-therapy of me expressing that to him and him just taking it in and saying, I hear you. I affirm who you are. And that just made so many things click now, that kind of retrospective discernment of, oh, God was actually working there when I was frustrated. God was working there when I saw a dead end. God was actually directing me down an even better pathway. And it's not possible unless we take the time and honestly reflect on what is your story. Because we all have a story to tell.
Well, and when I was discerning the priesthood, I was in my late 20s. What are you now? You're some sort of 20s or 30s or something.
Yeah, like 20s.
Yeah, like 20s.
We're on the edge of the 20s. I'm going to hold it as long as I can.
All right. Well, that's about how old I was when I was discerning the priesthood for the first time. And somebody said, and I think this is the notion you're getting at with a lot of the sort of happiness, but not just like what feels good, but also your life story and looking back on your life, somebody said the word fulfillment to me. And I think that is kind of what you're getting at, that it's not just like, oh, that was fun, or I like doing that. Because quite honestly, like you said, you moved from engineering to ministry. I was working in television broadcast. And I was like, that was fun. I liked doing that. I was good at that. But then that kind of put a little bit of a different twist on it. And looking at, and I think it's part of what you're describing, looking at your life story, looking back and saying, what was most fulfilling? And when I was in my late 20s and I'd already been directing live television, but when somebody used that word, the moment that I went back to was a retreat that I led in college and somebody coming up to me in the library and saying, you know, thanks for that retreat. It really changed my life. That was more, in a sense, fulfilling looking back on my story and how God had been a part of that than even some of my professional, quote, accomplishments. So I think that's the where you're encouraging us to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, again, we are surprised how often God works in our lives, and in the present, we don't see it. In the future, we can hope for it. But especially when we reflect on where God, I mean, that was the big turnaround for me. Again, those times when I saw frustration of like a dead end on my path of discernment. When I saw that dead end and was able to step back and see the whole story together, I realized that dead end actually was really crucial for someone else's story, right? I share this, my good friend, we were both kind of discerning the priesthood together at once, and it was me who brought him to the vocation director. And, you know, just last year he was ordained a priest, and that was important to his story. When I saw it, it was like, oh, that was a dead end. That was a waste of time on my side. But it wasn't until looking back at the totality of it, You see those hidden ways that God has also worked in other people's lives. Because it's not just about you, right? It's about your story weaving and intersecting with other stories to build this beautiful tapestry of God's love and work in the world.
So it's not just about me.
Me.
It's not just about me. That's what you're saying. Okay. I'm going to have to reread Matt's book, I think. Now, Brett, I don't know if you noticed, Matt earlier said that his persona on social media, it's like, it's the perfect, it's the pristine, it's the polished version. Apparently our approach here in this show is absolutely the opposite. We just go with all the flaws. Your job in particular, Brett, is to highlight many of my imperfections.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say between me mocking you and then being self-deprecating to myself, we've got a lot that's not the polished version of us. And now that I'm not really on social media that often, this is it. What you see is what you get on here. And we got 2 hours to fill every night. You can't possibly be polished the whole time. You know, it fills up more time. Let's put it this way. It fills up a lot more time for me to review my flaws and the things that don't go perfectly well than the things that do go perfectly well. That's a lot more material, yes.
Mm-hmm. Matt Kresich is our guest here on the Busted Halo Show. He's got a brand new book from Paulist Press called The Path of Discernment. Hearing God's Call was part of your life's discernment when you joined us on the Footsteps of St. Paul pilgrimage back in 2017.
Yeah.
You know, it was this hidden dream that I never realized I had, because when I was on the pilgrimage, I was firmly in my engineering work and, you know, trying to ask those questions, where does God intersect with engineering? And again, that is really the impetus behind the book. Obviously, we're talking a lot about ministry, right? We're all working ministry to some regards, but this book really is not for the person discerning church work. It's not for the person discerning priesthood or religious life. It is just a person trying to ask the question, where is God in where I'm at now? And as I open up in the book, you know, as long as it's not something morally wrong, intrinsically wrong, like God's there and God is pulling you. So, you know, whether you're working at a restaurant, whether you are working at a barber or whatnot, like all of those talents, all those vocations can be used to glorify God. And we need happy, holy engineers, right? We need happy, holy lawyers. We need happy, holy grade school teachers, right? These are all valuable vocations. And so often we think those are just defaults. If the church thing, if I'm not super prayerful, like that's just my default, right? It's only for the holy people to discern and whatnot. When God is just knocking at the door and saying, invite me into whatever path you find yourself on. And if you say yes and follow me, I guarantee you that path will go even deeper and pull more out of you than you can ever imagine, leading to that fulfillment, that happiness. Definitely challenges, right? Doesn't mean it's a walk in the park all the days, but at the end of the day, when you look back at the story, you're just more aware of how God is there. And the book again offers so much practical stuff, you know, funny parts about my life that we can all laugh at now in retrospect, but ultimately practical.
Drinking with Brett at 1 in the morning.
That could be in the next book.
This is the big question book. The small question book, like, where's my room and do we have snacks, is a much smaller question to be addressed.
I'm going to posit that one of the reasons that Matt chose Paulus Press to publish his first book is because he went on the footsteps of St. Paul, and we were actually in like Ephesus and that big amphitheater where Paul preached and he was the big communicator. Do you remember standing in that big amphitheater, Matt?
I do, yes. And then I remember running all the way up to the top of it where the stairs were, and that was running up those was not a good idea in the middle of the summer and looking down. So I know what it's like to be on stage. And that? No, that was discernment's important. Keeps it from doing silly things.
Now my legs hurt. That's that 2020 hindsight discernment you were talking about.
Do you remember us taking pictures of Brett with a microphone pretending he was doing stand-up comedy in the amphitheater where Paul preached?
I do. I very much do. Yes, I think I was like 10 feet away from when that was happening. So.
Yeah, that's a good example of me not being polished online. When I posted that, it looks like I'm completely performing to zero people. So it looks like I was booked and I failed miserably.
You didn't sell out the crowd.
I did not sell one ticket, in fact. But I'd still like to consider the fact that I performed where potentially St. Paul performed.
Oh, well, if you have anything in your life that requires some discernment, and as Matt points out, it's not just the big, you know, get married or not, or career choices, a lot of things we have to bring our thoughts to, bring our heart to, bring some discernment to. That's why we've got this book, The Path of Discernment, Hearing God's Call, brand new from Paul's Press, and our guest, Matt Kresich. Thank you so much, Matt, for coming full circle on your Busted Halo journey.
Woohoo!
Thank you.
Hey, bye. Oh, it's my first time. I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do.
He mimed excitement for all of those who can't see him, which is most of the people part of the show right now. He mimed great excitement. Matt, very proud of you. This is awesome.
Good job, Matt. Thank you.
Full circle. Thank you.
Full circle.